Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio, and also in association with and broadcasting on Progzilla Radio. You're currently listening to The King of Sunset Town by Marillion. I hope you enjoy it.
scars that lined your face, an injured soul's came to his bed to hear the stories he would tell of butterflies and summer tales.
You heard it here first, Steve Hogarth is the king of Sunset Town. Anyway, hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio, and now also in association with and broadcasting on Progzilla Radio. The King of Sunset Town is just an epic track. It's kind of reminiscent of Dance on a Volcano from A Trick of the Tail by Genesis, in that it's the debut of a new lead vocalist on a prog band who were doing really well, who were absolutely massive at that point. And just like Dance on a Volcano and Trick on a Tail, you can put it on, and obviously the tonal voice is completely different between Steve Hogarth and Fish. You can put it on and just think, yeah, this is Marillion straight out the gate. It fits right in straight away, and it just instantly sounds like classic Marillion, and I think that's just absolutely wonderful. Thank you all to those who listened to my David Bowie special last week. I really enjoyed putting that one together, and I hope to see you all again there for next January for next year's David Bowie special. This week we have some new exciting prog from a new side project from one of my favourite new era of progressive rock bands, Ghost of the Machine. This side project started out during the COVID lockdowns, which seemed like a lifetime ago, by Ghost of the Machine's guitarist Scott Owens. Scott started putting these riffs and ideas together, and then he got his next door neighbour and keyboard player friend Tim Lofthouse to join the project, and then finally he recruited the amazing Charlie Bramell to come in on vocals to round out the project. The project is called Shadows on Mercury. They've got an EP coming out. They've released the first single from that EP, and it is an astonishing track, which I'm about to play for you now, titled The Silence. Thank you.
special kind of violence ruptures the horizon. As the sky falls from above, take one last look at what you love. We refuse to see this tragedy. What were we thinking of? What were we thinking of?
I think you'll all agree that's it's an absolutely fabulous piece. What I quite like about that is the use of modes throughout the track. You know, it's not in they're not playing in standard scales. It's kind of very kind of mythical and kind of medieval and kind of just, it just sounds absolutely fabulous. And I think this is, it pains me to say this, but my favorite bit of the track is the keyboard solo. I just absolutely love that. It's like a hybrid, if like you basically put Rick Wakeman and Eddie Jobson and even Tony Banks in a blender, they would come out with something like that. But it's a brilliant track, and I'm excited to be able to play it and listen to the rest of the EP. Now, I thought it would be a bit unfair to play some new modern prog from my friends without playing some new modern prog from my other friends, the amazing Leeds-based kind of math, prog, metal, kind of everything band Divided by Design. At present, at the time of recording, they are currently a two-piece band with just guitars and drums. But when this next song came out from the Catalyst EP, I believe it was in 2020, I think it was around then, it was a three-piece band, just guitar, bass and drums. And what really knocked me out was the first time I ever heard these guys, my brother showed me them. He'd seen them at a live show, and he brought them back and basically played me the Spotify tracks, and it was so good. It was so kind of heavy and so metal, yet so melodic at the same time. And then for the next EP, they kind of pulled back from the metal influences a little bit and went down the kind of more melodic kind of hard rock route. It's all instrumental music. It's all wildly complicated, really heavy and really fun. This is Exolansis by Divided by Design.
We'll be right back.
I remember when that came out as a single during 2020, and it just blew my mind. Like, I'd heard, like, the Orion stuff, which was the kind of really kind of... That is obviously very heavy, but this was a lot heavier, kind of a lot kind of gentier, if that's a word. The previous stuff was, you know, lots of low chugging on 7 and 8 strings, and when that came out, it blew my mind, because I was like, well, this is the perfect blend. It's got the heaviness in there, it's got the melodicness in there, it's got the crazy solos, it's got the wild synth pad choirs, and oh, I just absolutely adore listening to that track. They're an amazing band, I would say. Definitely check them out on Facebook, check them out on YouTube, give them a stream on Spotify. They are very, very prolific. They release like 3 or 4 EPs a year. They're very good to their fans, so I would say Divided by Design are definitely worth checking out. Now, from one extreme bit of guitar heaviness to a completely different kind, but kind of similar in a kind of weird way. This is ended up as a very weird segue, but as a child, I was a massive fan of the guitar shredder Buckethead. I first became aware of him when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, when I was playing the Guitar Hero games, and we got Guitar Hero 2 for the PlayStation 2, and the hardest song on that game, and arguably on any Guitar Hero game, was the song Jordan, which he composed specifically for the game. He was asked to write something that had a cool riff and that had a crazy solo, and he totally delivered. And playing that song and failing to get through it maybe thousands of times within the game made me fall in love with the man who wears a KFC bucket on his head, a yellow raincoat, and a white Michael Myers Halloween mask. There's just something about his music that was so special, even at that young age, before I could play an instrument, before I knew anything about music and what made something great, I could identify with Buckethead, and I spent years really going through his back catalogue, listening to all his different tracks, looking at all the different collabs he's done and things like that, and I fell in love with the guy. And I think what it was that because he wears a mask, because he wears a bucket on his head, I could sort of project myself onto him. You know, he was a faceless being who existed solely to play guitar, and the mask allowed him to create more emotion in his playing, because you weren't distracted by his face or his appearance, you were just solely focused on his guitar playing. This song is one of his greatest tracks. It's quite a long one. He vamps on the same theme for a long time, but it's so emotional. It's got some amazing soloing and a fabulous riff. This is Soothsayer by Buckethead. What's really interesting about that, and what's really interesting about Buckethead's music in general, is another fellow guitar shredder, Michelangelo Batio, put it best that Buckethead vamps on incredibly simple sequences for really long periods of time. It's the emotion and feel behind those, like the solos in that track go on for absolutely ages, and it's such a simple kind of chorus, if you call it that, kind of the heavy riff, but he just adds so much emotion in there. You can just feel every single note, even though he's going at a billion trillion miles an hour. It's all, you know, it's all still hitting home, it's all still worthwhile, and yes, the section's gone a bit long, but that's the point, you know. He was supposed to kind of appreciate the little vamps and little nuances of every repetition and things like that. But I absolutely love Buckethead's music. He's put out 512 albums, I think, at the time that this has come out. There's a great video on YouTube by a guy called Recollect, who put out a video called "I Listen to All 512 Buckethead Albums," and it is a real treat. Anyway, moving on from one epic guitar shredder to another one who is slightly more tasteful and melodic and a bit more kind of classic. I don't know if such a thing would to exist. This is one of my favourite instrumentals of all time. Now, I actually made a documentary about this song, maybe just about a year ago. I think I made it in February, March last year. But once again, I discovered this track through the game that is Guitar Hero. This was on the part 8 of Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock, and it is one of my favourite songs of all time. This version in particular is a live version, so basically it's Cliffs of Dover by Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson first writes this song in 1984. He wants to put it on his first solo album, Tones, but the producer doesn't like it and thinks it's a bit naff, but Eric plays it live for years and years until it finally comes out on 1990's Arvia Musicom. So at the time of this live performance in 1989, Eric had been playing this song for 5 straight years and had got it down to a T. This is Cliffs of Dover, live in Austin, Texas, 1989. Mm-hmm. As you can hear, the crowd goes absolutely wild for that, and rightfully so. I would have loved to have been in the audience for that performance. Thankfully, yes, it was videoed. It's on DVD, it was on TV. You can watch it on YouTube in glorious 1989 480p videotape, but that doesn't detract from the performance. And the solo on that is phenomenal. Like, of course, there is only one Cliffs of Dover solo, and that is the one that's on the studio recording, but you could argue that that version where he leads in with all the chords is just as good and just as valid. It's like hearing, I don't know, it's like looking at a painting from a different angle. Like if you stare at it from the front, you see something. But then if you look at it from the left-hand side, it's almost a completely different piece of work. This next song has been a long favourite of mine ever since I discovered it. Funnily enough, when I was a child on The Simpsons, there's a flashback episode, I believe in series 7 or 8, Homer, it shows Homer Simpson's childhood in the 70s, and there's a bit where he goes and one of the guys has this groovy van with like a waterbed and a sound system in, and this is the song that comes out of the sound system. And it wasn't until a few years later I heard it again and thought, it's that song from The Simpsons. But I looked into it, listened to it, and it's become one of my favourites. The song in question is Frankenstein by Edgar Winter, and it's somewhat of a groundbreaking track in that it's one of the very early kind of synthesizer based rock compositions. Now of course electronic music kind of hit its fore in the late 70s, early 80s, when everything was electronic, but in the early 70s you had little tracks like this where they would infuse electronic music into a traditional rock-based format. The reason it's called Frankenstein is because it was like an hour-long jam session that they recorded in the studio that they then snipped together and edited the best 5 minutes of. The drummer came into the studio one day and he saw Edgar Winter and the producer sticking all these little bits of tape together to try and create the ultimate version of the song, and he said, my goodness, it's like Frankenstein, and that's where the title comes from. This is Frankenstein by the Edgar Winter Group. What's amazing about that is there's a great version of it on the Old Grey Whistle Test, and it's a longer 11-minute jam version. And you don't really get the sense of what Edgar Winter's fully doing on that version. Like, you could hear all these different instruments, but you just assume it's different band members. But when you watch the Old Grey Whistle Test version, he straps a synthesizer around his neck and plays it like a guitar, which in those days must have been the heaviest thing in the world. The saxophone solo is also Edgar Winter, and then that drum solo, he's doing a double drum solo with the drummer as well. So that's kind of lost in the studio one, but when you watch him do it, you're like, wow, this guy could do everything. Up next is a song by the band Klaatu, which was a kind of weird discovery for a friend quite a while back. So basically, she said that there's this band that were like a late 70s prog band that everybody thought was the Beatles, and because their songwriting and sound was so similar. And I listened to it and I didn't really hear the Beatles thing, but I enjoyed the music nonetheless. They released probably their biggest album is called 347 EST, which is, it's kind of a random title. All the songs are very kind of weird and random. It's almost like they were kind of having a joke, but in that they created some fab music. This is track one from the album. This is Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft.
Capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think. Interplanetary craft, calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. Observing love. transmit thought energy far beyond the norm. You close your eyes, you concentrate. Together, that's the way to send the message. We declare a world contact.
Whilst I can definitely hear the Beatles connection there, I don't know about, you know, it's the main thing that when you Google the band is like, is this band the Beatles? Were this band secretly the Beatles recording? And I think the things that link it to being the Beatles really are just the mellotron and piano part and drum part. Like, obviously the mellotron, it starts out very much like Strawberry Fields Forever, and the drum part is very reminiscent of a Ringo thing. And anyway, it's still a great track regardless. The piano is very Beatlesy, but it's a lot of fun to listen to. Well, thank you all for joining me once again for this week's Top of the Progs. I've just got one song left, and it is Sky's Biggest Hit, one of my favourite songs from the band. This is Toccata by Sky. Thank you all for listening. I hope you have a good week. Goodbye.